to be here.
And I'm so glad to be back. And thank you all for your prayers. And it's good to be home. And thank you. And I'm not going to be preaching this morning. So, but I just want to share. I want to share a little bit before Adam comes up and shares with us. But I bring greetings from my mom's church, where I was able to preach a few weeks ago, Brackenfell Baptist Church in Brackenfell, which is a little town outside, a little suburb outside Cape Town, and from Sunrise Church. I don't know if you're, some of you were in South Africa last year, met Tristan and his wife, so I was able to spend some time with Tristan. And then Living Hope, I was able to spend time with Victor. I landed and he came to America around the same time. So the day he flew out, I was able to meet with him, and he sends his love and thanks to Grace Point. But I was able to go to South Africa for a total of about 18 days, it looks like. It seems like it was long. It also seems like it flew by very quickly. But it was filled with divine appointments. It was filled with one miracle after the other. And it was just an incredible time of divine appointments and gifts from our Heavenly Father. Right down to the day that I left, I got to spend the day with my mom, and it was absolutely perfect weather. We walked down on the beach and had lunch together, and it was absolutely perfect, which this time of the year, the wind always blows. There was not a breath of wind, and the Lord just blessed us with that. I was able to celebrate with my brother and his family and my mom her 84th birthday, and it was such a blessing to celebrate with her. I arrived a little early in South Africa before, and so we partnered with Team Extreme International and South Roots International, which is a ministry based in Cape Town area, and they are traditional. They use traditional dance music and spoken word and so on to share the gospel, and they're phenomenal, so gifted and strong. But they have so many different cultural, racial backgrounds that they bring together and share the gospel through that. It's a powerful declaration just to see so many different people from different backgrounds on the same stage declaring Jesus is Lord. Was really powerful. But the team from TX, there's a little video they're going to be sharing, but Tua was from Samoa, Ashu was from India, and Simeon was from Fiji, and so they were the bulk of the team, along with Adam and myself, and partnering with South Roots. But it was just an incredible time, and I just want to share just a little bit of some of the things that the Lord did. TX, for those of you who know Team Extreme, and we have some representatives here from Team Extreme, Hisham with the Team Extreme Kansas City. They use strength feats. They break things just to share the gospel, right? And it's such fun team to be around. But what I love about them is that they don't compromise on the gospel. You draw people in with, but each thing that they do has a message to it. And but one of the primary methods that we did in South Africa was to get into the public schools, to share the gospel in the schools. And South Africa, the public schools, the teachers, the principals have given so much freedom for us to be able to go into the schools and freely declare the gospel and to do an altar call during the school assembly. So it varies between 30 minutes and an hour that you've got time to do that. And in that time, and we also did open air events, evening events, but I was able to share about 24 times, which I preached about 5 times, 24 times, not including one school that we spent the entire day there going to 26 different classes. So we kind of split up and went from class to class, and I was able to get 40 young people every time and share the gospel with them, and even do an altar call in every one of their classrooms. But it was just amazing. So leading invitations, praying for people. In the total, it was 10 days of ministry, 10 days of ministry, which was packed, as Adam and I both feel right now. Maybe jet lagged, but we're just exhausted from getting up really early in the morning and running hard until about 10 p.m. at night every day. And in the afternoon, sometimes we'd come back to the house and crash for about 30 minutes and then get back in the car and go out again. But it was very, very fruitful. Roughly, we were able to share the gospel with about 12,500 people, and 6,900 of them responded to the gospel. So it was phenomenal. Yes, praise the Lord. You know, you can be cynical about that and say, well, they raised their hand because of their friends, or, you know, but to see the number of children, young people that were weeping as the power of the Holy Spirit fell on them and they repented of their sins. There were two times when I was able to pray with them after they responded and said, just let's just wait on the Lord for his presence and just to pray for the power of the Holy Spirit just to fall on the school and transform the school. And there was a time where there were 500 students. You could have heard a pin drop as they just stood there with their arms out waiting on the Lord. And it was a holy hush that fell on the class, on the whole school. Even teachers responded to the gospel. I was sharing with Justin here just a moment ago is that from one school to the next, we even had a government vehicle that escorted us from one place to the next. And there's a ministry, a government organization called Safe Schools. And they were like, well, the only thing that can work is the gospel. The only thing that can work is what the Christian church can provide. And so they escort us from school to school. It was just phenomenal. But, you know, South Africa is in a really, really difficult time. There's a lot of challenges. You know, in Kansas City, which is terrible, we mourn the fact that there's over 200 murders a year. And it's terrible. In the months of November and December, there were 1,700 murders in Cape Town. And that's not car accidents, those were murders. And in 2 months. So it's a war zone of people killing each other. And we went to the school called Summerdale High School. And as we drove in, the security guard at the gate came up to the car and started talking to me and found out that he was a believer. And he says, I am so glad you're here. I am expecting God to do an amazing thing here. He says, but let me tell you about the school. He said, last year there was a demonic outbreak in the school. 300 children manifested demons at one time in the school. And they were screaming so loudly and doing crazy things that they shut the school down and called parents and said, we don't know what's going on. Come and get your children. And they just sent everybody home. They said, it's out of control. We don't know what to do. And there were a few Christians on staff. The principal himself was Muslim. And he said, I don't know what to do, but I know some people who can help. And so he started calling Christian groups to come into the school to help. And we were one of those groups that came in. And it's not uncommon to have children ask you, after they've prayed to receive Christ as Lord and Savior, to say, well, what do we do with our ancestor worship now? Because it's very, very big in some of the tribal cultures. And so they had a lot of that going on. It's not also uncommon to see a witch doctor walking down the street in some of the areas that we were in. So the demonic power was evident, and it was terrible in seeing that. And there was a lady that was a cleaner who was in full-time ministry, and God called her to the school as a cleaner. And so she says, I don't know why I'm here. I'm just praying for these students. She says, but it seems like there's nothing that I can do. And I was able to pray over her and encourage her that she is in full-time ministry and the school is her mission field now. So anyway, we were able to share the gospel with 1,100 students in that school, and God moved powerfully. About 1,000 of them stood up to receive Jesus Christ as Lord. So the entire school practically receive Christ as Lord on that day. There was a lot of weeping. There was a lot of genuine transformation. And so my prayer was, man, that God would transform that school forever by the power of the gospel. It was such a reminder that Jesus is Lord, even over such a difficult situation. Unfortunately, the principal wasn't there that day, but the rest of the teachers came up to us and just said, this is what we need. I got to pray with other principals who, after our meetings, would come up to me and say, can you pray for me? I need wisdom in how to lead my school. So it was such a wonderful time of celebration. And in that school, the Lord took me to just two scriptures as I was sharing with them. And the first one was Romans 8:39, where we know it's nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. He goes through the list of things that cannot separate us, but I highlighted there is no power that can separate us from the love of God. There is no power, no demonic power that can separate us from God's love. And then the Lord also took me to Acts 4, verse 12, where salvation is found under no other name than Jesus Christ. And even addressing the ancestral worship that is so evident there. But we had some remarkable things happen, powerful things happen, and the Lord really moved among us. We had a very old Toyota Condor vehicle, a diesel, that just kept on going until it stopped. We were going down a mountain pass from one town to the other, and I'm about to overtake a truck, and it just absolutely, it just died. Like, all electrical went off. And so I lost power steering, and I'm just cruising down this mountain. So I'm trying to slow down, but I don't want to slow down. Let's see how far we can go before we need to call for help. And cruise for about a mile, maybe 2 miles, and just everyone in the car started praying. We got to the bottom of the hill, it started up and carried on going, you know. So, but Adam has the anointing, because it broke down about 3 times, and the last time he touched the lead on the battery and seemed to be fine after that. So, it was such a blessing. So I put together last night just a quick video of just a testimony of what God has done. Some of the people, the first three are the guys that were with us in the house and on the TX team, and then two other testimonies from people. And then I want to invite Adam to come up and share what the Lord has laid on his heart, the word of the Lord for us this morning, I believe. So thank you, Matthew, if you can play that video.
Hi, church. Thank you. Just want to say how much I do really appreciate for sending Pastor Arthur and Adam to partner with the Team Extreme International. It's I see in my own eyes. We do really appreciate very, very, very much all the things that you guys done. So blessing on the church, and hope to see you guys in the future. All right. God bless. Love you all.
Hello, everybody. Praise the Lord. We're here in Cape Town. It's a beautiful time here. And my name is Ashu. I come all the way from Bangalore, India, working with Team Extreme, YWAM. Thank you so much for sending Pastor Atul and Adam. They've been an amazing part of our team. We're definitely going to miss them. And Pastor Atul's been more like a pastor. I mean, more than a pastor, he's been like a father to the team. So we're really going to miss him. We have just a couple of days here. And then on Monday, we go back to India, and the rest of the guys go back to their places. Thank you so much. Keep praying for us. We would really appreciate your prayers. We cannot do it without your prayers. And God bless you all. Everybody's watching. And take care.
Okay.
Hi, everyone. My name is Simeon Itura, and I'm from Fiji. I live in Mali, West Africa. Thank you for all your support and all your prayers towards the Team Extreme here. We are in South Africa, and this is our last week. And please continue praying for us. We need more strength to do the journey and to complete for the outreach this week. Thank you so much.
Hello, my name is Renee. I'm here from South Africa. I just shared with Pastor Ethel now something I felt very strong in my spirit to share. So one night while he was sharing his testimony of how God called him to America and how he thought, why America when the whole world needs the gospel, and you might think there's countries that need the gospel more than America. And then I had this picture of like a sparkler, and like how the sparkler was extended from Pastor Ethel to the church, and not only to the church but to the whole world. And I just experienced like God might call you into a season like, or in a place that, where you think it's dry, where you don't understand why God is calling you to this place, but it's usually the driest places that catches wildfire the quickest. I know here in the Western Cape we get wildfires in the summer because it's dry and there's no rain. So that is the vision I saw.
I just want to say thank you to Pastor for coming out to our school today, because as a born-again Christian, it's always been one thing for me to share the gospel at school and to make children aware of God and what God can do, especially not walking in the flesh but walking in the spirit and allowing God in our lives to put Him first in everything. And as the Bible verse says, seek first the kingdom of God and these things will be added unto you. And I feel that for Pastor coming out today, it really helped a lot of children, and I hope that the seed was planted for them to grow, and not grow anyway but grow towards God. Thank you.
I don't know if it's just because I was there, but what a powerful video. Dan, could you come up? Take it away.
Aren't we thrilled to have Adam here this morning? Amen. When Athol came years ago, one of his major calls was to grow and release the young lions. He told me that years ago. And there's fruit from the labor. And here's one of them right here. And so, Adam, when we're done, when you're done, would you be willing to intercede for people to come up and pray with them? Yes. I'm going to ask the young lions. If you're a young man, come up. We want the young lions to intercede for us today. Can we do that? Would you come up and not just sit there and let one of them, you know, Matthew, Joshua, many others. And dads, if you have a young lion, get them up here. Not now, but after Adam's done. So they're going to be ready to pray. So let's just pray for Adam, right? Lord, thank you for Adam. He represents the young lions for God, for the kingdom of God. Lord, thank you for the call on his life and the other young lions here. We pray the anointing of God on this young man who represents your men coming up, the Timothys, for Jesus and the kingdom. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening through this man, and we receive him fully and the anointing of God on him. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, young lions, don't forget to come up here. I'm going to be wanting you to pray for me, and others are too.
Thank you, Dan. I truly feel honored that I had such a privilege to join Athol in South Africa with Team Extreme and the South Roots International Ministry. They were such fun people to do ministry with. The guys, where they showed their brotherly love through their insults. Every time they introduced me, they said, "There's our biggest and strongest guy." I'm like, "Let's give it up for Big Adam." That's what they said. But I loved them. They're also just extremely skilled. Team Extreme, extremely skilled and effective in just reaching out to different communities, reaching out to the students. Being with these teams was super encouraging to me, and it pushed me well beyond what I thought I could even do. You saw some of the pictures of some of the things I was doing. It affected me so much so that I left South Africa questioning, am I using all that God has given me to fulfill his purpose on the earth? And I want to ask you today, are you using all that God has given you to fulfill his purpose for your life? For those of you that don't know, I'm part of a college ministry called Collegiate Impact. Shout out to Travis back there. And with this organization, I help to make opportunities on my college campus to have gospel conversations, help with Bible studies with fellow students. And since I've been a part of that ministry, I keep hearing this phrase getting asked or spoken, and all these young guys are going, what is the Old Testament for? And we always so often talk about the gospel message and the New Testament. There's kind of a disconnect sometimes of what is the Old Testament? How does that apply to my life now? But I'm here to tell you that the Old Testament is not just a book of rules to tell you how Israel lived thousands of years ago. It tells of the wickedness of man, the mercy of God, and the coming of our Lord Jesus. But the Old Testament also illustrates, in many ways, our walk with God today and the struggles we still face today. Even the first apostles in the book of Acts, we see them in the upper room studying the Old Testament scriptures and applying it to their walk with God. So I'd like to read Deuteronomy 26, if you'll turn your Bibles with me. Before I read this, I want you to be thinking about your personal walk with God. I want you to think about your own story, your testimony. Let me just pray before we read God's word. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Grace Point. For the men and women that you've led here today, God, I thank you for the call that you have on their lives, for the story that you've given them. God, for how you've moved in each and every one of us. Thank you for your grace upon our lives. Lord, lead us today. Lord, speak through me now. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm gonna read this whole chapter, but don't worry, it's only like 19 verses, so it shouldn't take too long. So bear with me. And it shall be when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and you possess it and dwell in it, that you shall take some of the first of all the produce of the ground, which you shall bring from your land that the Lord your God is giving you, and put it in a basket, and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. And you shall go to the one who is priest in those days, and say to him, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the country which the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. Then the priest shall take the basket out of your hand, and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. And you shall answer and say before the Lord your God, my father was a wandering Aramean about to perish. And he went down to Egypt and dwelt there, few in number. And there he became a nation, great, mighty, and populous. But the Egyptians mistreated us, afflicted us, and laid hard bondage on us. Then we cried out to the Lord God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and looked on our affliction and our labor and our oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. He has brought us to this place and has given us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which you, O Lord, have given me. Then you shall set it before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. So you shall rejoice in every good thing which the Lord your God has given to you in your house, you and the Levite and the stranger who is among you. When you have finished laying aside all the tithe of your increase in the third year, the year of tithing, and have given it to the Levite, the stranger, the orphan, and the widow, so that they may eat within your gates and be filled, then you shall say before the Lord your God, I have removed the holy tithe from my house, and also have given them to the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, according to all your commandments which you have commanded me. I have not transgressed your commandments, nor have I forgotten them. I have not eaten of anything one morning, nor have I removed any of it for an unclean use, nor given any of it for the dead. I have obeyed the voice of the Lord my God, and have done according to all that you have commanded me. Look down from your holy habitation from heaven, and bless your people Israel, and the land which you have given us, just as you swore to our fathers, a land flowing with milk and honey. This day the Lord your God commands you to observe these statutes and judgments. Therefore you shall be careful to observe them with all your heart, with all your soul. Today you have proclaimed the Lord to be your God, and that you will walk in his ways and keep his statutes, his commandments, and his judgments, and that you will obey his voice. Also today the Lord has proclaimed you to be his special people, just as he promised you that you should keep all his commandments, and that he will set you high above all nations, which he has made in praise and name and in honor, and that you may be a holy people to the Lord your God, just as he has spoken. Before you dismiss this passage as nothing more than another Jewish law or tradition, I want you to picture, if you will, a purpose for this story beyond what meets the eye, beyond what Jewish tradition this may pertain to. God is speaking about more than just a tradition here, more than just a law. He's speaking of a lifestyle, a walk for all Christians. This entire chapter is a reflection of the Christian life. And it is how every Christian is called to walk out their lives. Let's look back again at verse 1. We see God talking about the inheritance of the promised land for the Israeli people. And notice it's not given as in if you inherit this land, if God pulls through, if he moves through. It's a when you inherit the land. It is a promise from God. And is it not the same for Christians as we step into our faith into God that we are promised to receive his Holy Spirit? Our inheritance as being adopted sons of God. God is not talking about tracts of land to us, but the promise of his Spirit. The same Spirit of God that leads unto salvation. The same Spirit that gives all things from God, the gifts of the Spirit. Again, there's no if we receive the Holy Spirit, but it's a when we receive the Holy Spirit. And what does he call us to do once we have received the Spirit? He says to take up your fruit, the fruit you receive from the Spirit, and take up the gifts that God has given you and go. Go to the place where your Lord, the Lord your God, chooses to establish his name. This may look different for each and every one of us, but I believe that there are even places and people now that God is calling some of you to go to. And where God calls us to go, Jesus is there with us. He's our priest before God. Verse 3 says, go to the priest who is in office at that time and say to him, I declare today to the Lord my God that I've entered the land which the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. While we were in South Africa, the places we went to were mostly public schools, like you saw in the video, and we got to share our testimonies and preach the gospel to thousands of students. And often we ended our time with the students by asking them to repeat a prayer after us. We led them in a prayer that went something like this. It was, Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I place my life in your hands. I trust you with my life. I love you, Jesus. Amen. And we led people through prayers like this because there's an importance to declaring God to be the Lord over your life. and to trust Jesus as the high priest over your life. It's for the same reason that we do baptism. It's the declaration you make to the world that Jesus is your Savior. It is Jesus who takes your prayers. It is Jesus who takes what you have declared and sets it before God. I want to look at verses 5 through 10 again. And you shall answer and say before the Lord your God, my father was a wandering Aramean, about to perish, and he went down to Egypt and dwelt there, few in number, and there he became a nation, great, mighty, and populous. But the Egyptians mistreated us, afflicted us, and laid hard bondage on us. And we cried out to the Lord God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice, and looked on our affliction, and our labor, and our oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and with an outstretched arm, with great terror, and with signs and wonders. He has brought us to this place, and has given us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land, which you, O Lord, have given me. So how does that apply to us? Can we even relate to that? I mean, I don't know about you, but pretty sure my dad's not a wandering Aramean. I've actually never been to Egypt, though I'd love to go someday. But to every Jew at this time, to every person living in Israel, this was their story. More than their story, this was their testimony. Their testimony before God. And once you look at verse 11 when it says, and you, the Levite, and the stranger who is among you. God's called you to share your testimony among strangers. Things can change when you share your testimony with strangers. The guys with Team Extreme have some pretty wild testimonies. They had some pretty wild lives. Ashu and Simeon, from the video you saw, I got to hear them share their testimonies many times on this trip. And I liked watching the faces of all the students as they shared. And something in the atmosphere always shifted when they shared their testimony. The audience would get quiet, and you knew God was doing something in their hearts. And you just knew some of them might ask, if God can do that for them, can he do that for me? Now, it wasn't because Ashu or Simeon were extra special or did something special in their lives. They were just willing to be personal and share the same testimony that you, Team Extreme, Athol, or I all have. And that testimony is, you were in the darkness, you were wretched, you were poor, but then Jesus came in, and God came through with a mighty hand and outstretched arm, and with great terror and with signs and wonders, he opened your eyes to the light, and now you see, and you have given your whole life to Jesus. We were all the same. We were all lost at one point in our lives. It doesn't matter where you came from or how bad or good your life was. You have a story to tell. Your entire life is a testimony to Jesus. Verse 12 reads, when you have finished paying all the tithe of your produce in the third year, the year of tithe, then you shall give it to the stranger, to the orphan, and to the widow, so that they may eat in your towns and be satisfied. I think it's interesting that it's in the third year that we're called to tithe. And that there's this gap here. And I think it speaks about the place your heart needs to be in before you give to others. Or it speaks about a time beforehand of cultivation, of building up. There's a time and a place for each of us to grow in the Word, to grow in our knowledge of God, and grow in our strengths. And we're called to give to others out of the overflow of that place. This is the importance of quiet time with God, the importance of a personal prayer life with God. Even Jesus fled to a quiet place with God each morning. Even Jesus gave out of the overflow of his heart, so often looking at the crowds with compassion. It says in James chapter 1, verse 27, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. You see, you can't have pure religion without relationship with God. If you're not giving out of the love of your heart, then the things you will be giving to the stranger, the orphan, or to the widow will be scraps, the remains of a struggling relationship with God. I don't think any of us in South Africa could have endured the labor set before us if it was not for our prayers spoken each morning. Because it was every morning that we reminded ourselves, it's not our strength, but it's His strength. It's not for our glory, but for His glory. It's not for our own love, out of our own love, but God's love in us. And we see Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13:3 that if I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. I don't mean to overwhelm you with all these different points, but I'm trying to illustrate to you the life that every Christian should lead, what God has called every Christian to do. And it may seem like a lot, but it can be all summed up to what we read in verse 14. The entire Christian life is this: I've listened to the voice of the Lord my God. I've acted in accordance with everything that you have commanded me. I've listened and I've acted. The Lord calls each of us to action. So often we're too comfortable sitting in that chair, listening to what Athol might be preaching, or listening to what God's saying, but how comfortable are we to take action in our own lives to make a difference? One day in South Africa, we were piling into our little Toyota minivan. We went to go to another school. And when we got to this school, we'd have about 15 minutes before we to set up and get everything ready before we'd kind of put on our show and do our teaching. And once we arrived at this school, one of the Team Extreme guys, Tua, he turns to me and says, I'm going to have you share the gospel this time. And at this point, it's pretty early on when I got there, so I'm still a little jet lagged, don't really know what's going on, don't really have any clue what to expect, so I just nod, I'm like, yeah, sure, okay. I decide I could probably pull it off. I've shared the gospel before, I think. And we get there, we start setting up, and I watch out as the kids start gathering into the assembly, and the kids keep coming. The kids keep coming. I'm like, I didn't know there'd be hundreds of people here. There's hundreds of kids in front of me. So the South Roots team and Team Extreme all do their thing and share some stories. But to me, it feels probably like 20 seconds go by. And I hear someone say, our friend Adam has something really important to share with you. Gulp. When coming to South Africa, I never dreamed that I'd get the opportunity to share the gospel with hundreds of students. I was certainly not prepared for it. So in that moment, I was praying a lot. Lord, don't let me screw this up. But as I prayed, I began looking at all the kids, looking at their faces, and suddenly all I could think about was how much Jesus loved them. How much pain and suffering Jesus endured so he could be with each and every one of those kids. He could be with each of those strangers, those orphans, and with those widows. I went up in front of the crowd and grabbed the mic and began to speak. I can honestly say I don't remember a single word that I said that day. But I remember ending it with an invitation to make Jesus the Lord of their lives. And I looked up at the crowd as hand after hand after hand went up in response. You see, God didn't move in that school because someone gave a well-worded message. I certainly didn't. It wasn't because someone did some crazy feat of strength. It was impressive. It was because each of us were there listening to the Lord and acting on His word. So that when we opened our mouths to speak, it was not us speaking, but God's in us. So I stand here to tell you now that if you do these things, if you truly do these things with your whole heart and with all your soul, without exception, God will speak through you. God will use you to love the strangers around you because He has given each of us a mission. Are you willing to say yes to God? Are you willing to listen and act upon His every command? Are you willing to go out of your way to love the stranger in your life? The orphan, the widow. Each of you in this room have a gift from God. Each of you a story. Now is not the time to stay silent, for you to be too shy to speak. How will you choose to use what God has given you, the strengths he's given you, your skills, the fruit of the Spirit? Will you keep it all for yourself, or will you give it to God? I want to invite the worship team to come up. I want to end with this. For those who choose to say yes to God, verses 18 through 19 says, "And the Lord today has declared you to be his people, his personal possession, just as he promised you, and that you are to keep all his commandments. And it says that he will put you high above all the nations which he has made for glory, for fame, and honor, and that you shall be a consecrated people to the Lord your God, just as he has spoken." The Lord blesses those who bless others. Bless others, and you will be blessed. Amen.